My dear brothers and sisters in Christ who are celebrating the resurrection, the word of God for our resurrection message is actually our New Testament lesson, and then some of the verses that follow it, okay? And I just want to read the verses that follow that New Testament lesson. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how could some of you say now that there is no resurrection of the dead? If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Oh, I remember, this was a long time ago, probably maybe 25 or more years ago. An individual in my former parish, he happened to be the president of the parish, as a matter of fact, he once told me about a Lutheran church that he had attended as a visitor on Easter Sunday morning. And he said that on that particular day, the pastor got up, and this is precisely what he preached. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he went and sat down, and they sang the next song. Now, he tried to convince me to do the exact same thing, okay? And his reasoning was this. First of all, it would be short. What's that, okay? And since it would be short, we get right to the point, all right? People wouldn't be bored. You wouldn't lose their attention. And because it would be short, everybody would remember it. They would remember it for the rest of their lives. And I got to tell you, every year, I heard the same thing from him. I resisted every year, but I heard the same thing. And I remember that, you know, when he was close to death, he told me, you know, Pastor, you really have done a good job, but I'm disappointed with you in one aspect. You never preached that short sermon for me. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but the title of this sermon for today is Christ is Risen, He is Risen Indeed. But I do not want to disappoint you by saying that I am just going to end the sermon by saying hallelujah, amen. I don't want to disappoint you. Actually, whether you're disappointed or not, in all sincerity, it can't be ended there. It can't be ended there because we have to come to an understanding of what the phrase Christ is risen really means. We have to know what the biblical definition of resurrection is. And I say this because of the fact that in all reality, resurrection is defined in two different ways. And depending upon how we define it, it has a big impact on our Christian faith. Now, the very first way that resurrection is defined is physical. A physical resurrection. A bodily resurrection. Christ physically, bodily rose from the dead. And here, please let me note that we're not talking about, you know, those kind of resurrections from the grave, like that took place in the movie, The Night of the Living Dead, or what is the series now, The Walking Dead, or, you know, all those wonderful zombie movies, okay? He did not rise as a zombie, and it was not, he did not walk around like this, all right? He rose completely back to life. He had his physical body. It was a glorified body. I mean, we are told that at one point he just appeared. And we are also told that he must have somehow been able to disguise his appearance. He did that to Mary and then also to Cleopas and his friend as they were walking down the road. And yet it was his physical body. He told them, look, put your fingers in the holes of my hands. Put your hand in where the spear cut my side. And then at another point too, he was hungry and he said, don't you have anything to eat? Come on, I need something to eat. It's a physical body, right? Yes, he physically rose from the dead. The second definition is one, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's one that kind of doesn't mean a true resurrection, but it means a symbolic resurrection. There are a lot of people who believe and teach that Christ did not physically rise from the dead. That his bones are someplace in this earth, probably decomposed by now. And that what happened was is that as the disciples, as the followers of Jesus got over their grief and their sadness, they resurrected his teachings. They resurrected the teaching of love your neighbor. Resurrected the teaching of if you truly want to be happy, don't seek the things of this world, but instead love others. That the teaching that don't center your life around yourself. Real joy comes from helping and serving others. They resurrected the teaching that we are to be people who feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, visit the sick, visit those who are in prison, yada, yada, yada. They didn't rise from the dead. No, to them, it was just a resurrection of the ideas, the teachings that Christ taught. Now, I'm going to ask you, what do you believe? Do you believe in a physical resurrection? Or do you just believe in this sort of resurrection of ideas? Paul gets right to the point. Because you see, it's interesting that the idea that Christ did not rise from the dead, that was already being taught back in Corinth during the time of Paul. And did you notice what Paul said? This is what he wrote. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ could not have risen from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Paul declares that if we do not believe, hold to the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, quite bluntly, Christianity is worth nothing. How do you like that? He says, if we do not believe that, we should be pitied more than anybody else. You see, it all starts in the fact that Christ, on the cross, he had the mission. And that mission was actually to destroy this wall of sin that separates us from God. Because you see, if that wall of sin remains, then it is impossible for us to be reconciled to God, to be his children. As a matter of fact, it's even impossible for us to truly follow his teachings. Oh, we might love some. Are we really going to love our enemies? Are we really going to pray for those who persecute us? Are we going to live such selfless lives that we would give up anything and everything to help our neighbor? Maybe a little bit, but it certainly isn't going to be sustained. No way. Because as sinful human beings, we center on ourselves. So Christ comes and he busts down that wall of sin. And he does it by his crucifixion. He becomes what I call our substitute. He's sinless. We're sinful. All of our sins are dumped on him. And since he's sinless, he dies on the cross and he pays all of our sins for us in our place. He appeases God's anger for us and this punishment of eternal death. He pays for us so that through him, this wall of sin is gone. For we are forgiven and we are reconciled to him and have eternal life. And I got to tell you something. You see, it's just like an arch. You build an arch out of rocks. And if you don't have a capstone, what happens? It falls. With Christianity, those promises of Christ that I have defeated sin, death, and the devil once and for all, if it doesn't have the capstone of the resurrection, it all falls apart. How in the world could he forgive our sins if his bones are still in the ground? How in the world could he be with us as our shepherd if his bones are still in the ground? How in the world could he ever give us eternal life if he is still dead and in the ground? It is impossible. So why be Christian? I'll tell you, and it's true, it was in a program. Question was asked, if Christ's body was found and there was absolute proof, undeniable proof that it is his body that is found, would you remain Christian? No. No. Because of the fact, then it all falls apart. He's dead. The promises aren't real. And I might as well then go and eat and drink and be merry, because that's all there is to life. But Christ did rise from the dead. You know, I got to tell you, I'm dense. Don't agree with that. Sometimes people could explain things to me so clearly, and it doesn't sink in. You know, for ages, you know, the greeting, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Now, you know, yeah, I knew Christ is risen indeed. I guess maybe I always put more of the emphasis on the fact that Christ is risen than on that whole word of indeed. And then I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, for some unknown reason, one of those many nights that I couldn't sleep, that all of a sudden the light bulb went on. And I go, duh, you stupid fool. And it dawned on me, indeed, indeed means true. It happened. Christ is risen. We respond, he is risen indeed. It is true. He physically rose from the dead. And because he did, what a way to live. You and I know that through faith in him, he forgives our sins because he lives. We know that he lives with us as our shepherd. He can because he lives now. We know that he will give us eternal life. He can, he will, because he lives now and he will live forevermore. All of his promises become true because of the resurrection. It's my prayer, my dear friends, that all of us will come and truly be firm in the faith that he physically rose from the dead. Oh, we're going to have our questions and doubts. I mean, when was the last time you saw someone dead and buried walking around in a cemetery? I haven't. If I did, I would be long gone, let me tell you. Okay, we don't see it. But it happens. Happened with Christ. And he's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. May we firmly believe this. And when we have our problems, go to him pray to him, go into his word. He will remove the doubt. May he grant this to us so that you and I can live with a comfort and a joy and a hope and assurance that all of Jesus' promises are true, that we truly do have salvation. I have often said that nowadays we need insurance. Well, he gave us insurance. His resurrection, it is eternal life insurance. Amen.